Okay, so we have Maura Williams on the line today with us.
Yes, Maura is a community organiser with 350.org. Yep.
Okay, so I guess what we're going to be talking about is the whole Ardani coal mine. So you want to start off by talking about the recent kind of decision that was passed in the Queensland government, Maura?
Yeah, hi, and thanks for having me. What would be one of the world's largest coal mines, and there's been communities right across Australia and internationally, actually, that have been fighting this for up to 4 years now. And what we've seen recently, which was a decision by the federal government to allocate $1 billion to the mine, potentially through the North Australian Infrastructure Facility, I think has really outraged a lot of people to know that their taxpayer dollars are going to a foreign-owned company in Adani to build a rail line that essentially is going to export climate change to the world.
Moira, who are some of the groups who've been mobilising locally and around Australia to make sure Carmichael doesn't get built over the last 4 years and obviously getting amped up again now?
Yeah, so, I mean, the mine itself is located in central Queensland, but it would be put on rail lines out through both Abbott Point and potentially the Port of Gladstone. And so we've seen communities, say, for example, in the Whitsunday area that were really concerned about the impacts on the Great Barrier Reef. The Whitsunday area is one that relies heavily on Great Barrier Reef tourism. So there's a group there which fund their residents against dumping. They originally formed when the dredge spoil from the port was going to be dumped on the reef, but they're currently challenging the Abbott Point expansion in court. And then we've seen communities down through the coast in Mackay also oppose the mine. And, of course, we have the traditional owners, the Wangan and Jagalingu people, who have so far refused to sign the Indigenous Land Use Agreement to give approval for Adani to mine their country in the mine where Carmichael is proposed to be built.
Hmm.
And, of course, as I mentioned, this is has been an international campaign. So there are groups like Rainforest Action Network in the US who are heavily involved in the campaigns to get the banks, so banks like Wells Fargo and other US banks, to rule out any financing for this mine as well.
Hmm. And speaking of financing, what's the economics of this project? Because this is a very big, expensive series of giant holes. Mm-hmm. And the world is not building that many new coal-fired power stations.
Mm, that's right. And so, I mean, when these projects were first conceived back in 2012, we did have a fairly high coal price and we're at the top of the mining boom, and this project is very ambitious. It's one of the most remote coal basins in the world, and so it would require a lot of infrastructure, over 300 kilometres of rail line, and it's guessed at about $9 billion in financing is still required to get the mine up. And that includes the port expansion, the mine itself, and the railway line. And more recently, we have seen an increase in that coal price. So the coal price fluctuates over time. It's driven by global economics. And we have seen that. We saw, I guess, over the last few years, a quite big dip down to $60 a tonne probably about 12 months ago. And over the last 12 months, we've seen that bump up again as part of a bit of a cycle there. So that's where we're seeing, more renewed interest from people about this project going ahead. There was quite a good interview with an economist, I'm trying to remember his name, on Radio National this week, saying that, there's still probably those prices need to stay high and go even higher for this to become economically viable. And we've seen it drop down to $80 a tonne just recently. So there are still huge hurdles, although the mine has almost all of its approvals from both Queensland and federal government. So that is the very disappointing thing, that we continue to see both the Queensland government, the federal government, back this industry that, is destroying our climate and the world is moving away from. But they don't have that finance. And so that loan from the federal government through the Northern Australian Infrastructure Facility is conditional on Adani getting to financial close, but lining up the rest of that money. So it's still some big hurdles there, and that's something we're 350 will be focusing on.
Hmm. And that North Australian Infrastructure Fund, was that set up as a slush fund for coal mines?
I mean, there's some set criteria around what it's for. Essentially, someone was telling me the other day, I didn't know this, but it was set up by initial idea by Gina Reinhart and has been re-evolved into this facility, which, you know, I'm not sure is true, but probably makes sense. I mean, essentially, we know that Northern Queensland is struggling in terms of jobs. So we have places like Townsville that have 25% youth unemployment, and they need a plan that will deliver jobs into the long term, into the future. And this facility is really should be used for building infrastructure that's going to deliver those long term sustainable jobs. So there's actually been a lot of secrecy around this process. We're not aware of the other projects that were put up for funding, but certainly it's our view that that money should be going towards projects that deliver long-term sustainable jobs, you know, whether that's in manufacturing or agriculture or health and education. And we shouldn't be spending taxpayer dollars propping up what is essentially one private company where a lot of the profits go offshore and, of course, destroying our climate along the way.
Hmm.
I think one. I just want to have. I have a question about specifically. You're from 350, and what is sort of the the core of work that is 350 is currently doing in response to the Adani coal mine?
Yeah. So we've been working on this campaign for a number of years now. I was working up in Mackay with communities up there to build peaceful resistance to the mine, and now I'm in Brisbane, and we're working primarily on that finance campaign. So we were part of a campaign calling on CommBank just about a year ago to call it rule out financing for the mine. We think there's an opportunity now to ramp up pressure on the remaining domestic banks. We've actually seen CommBank not confirm that publicly, that they won't rule out the mine. So, and the NAB, the National Australia Bank, is the only bank that publicly has stated that they won't finance the mine. So we'll be mobilising communities across the country along with other groups like the Australian Youth Climate Coalition and Market Forces to really ramp up a big public campaign calling on these banks to rule out all funding of fossil fuels. I mean, they have committed to keeping the globe below 2 degrees, and they really need to put their money where their mouth is and stop financing any new fossil fuel project, starting with this Adani mine.
Hmm. And just the scale of this coal mine is profound, isn't it? We're talking about a massive.
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, we talk about it as the mine, but it as originally conceived, it's 6 underground mines and 6 open cut coal mines. Up to 60 million tonnes per annum. And so to give people perspective, that's 40 kilometres long. So I think I read something in the paper today that if you stood on the tallest building in Melbourne, you wouldn't see the end of it. So that sort of gives the scale. This isn't a single mine. This is proposed to be a mega mine. And most mines in Australia are less than 10 million tonnes per annum. So this is really very huge and far beyond what we've seen in Australia before, and would be one of the largest in the world. We have seen reports potentially of Adani downscaling that in order to try and get finance for it, so basically build a cheaper version of the mine to help them get finance. But what we know is that once they've built a rail line out to a mine like that and they've invested in all that infrastructure, we'd see them scale that up over time. And so it's really critical that we don't see this massive new coal deposit in the Galilee Basin opened up. And that's why I think we've seen such outrage from Australians, certainly being contacted by a lot of people this week who are very concerned about it. And I think, you know, we're ready to do whatever it takes to keep that coal safely in the ground.
Mm. I guess not sure if we went on into this before, but who are the political parties that voted for this mine, and what are the ones that voted against it in the parliament and including crossbenchers in independents.
You mean in Queensland? Or?
Yes, in Queensland, yeah.
I mean, I guess that, you know, this was on the Queensland agenda, and the impacts, particularly on the Great Barrier Reef, were high on the political agenda in Queensland for the last state election. And as a result of that, we got some quite good commitments out of the Queensland Labor government, who committed to no financing of the mine, and some really good protection measures for the reef. But what's concerning is, since then, we've seen the Queensland ALP do things like label the project critical infrastructure, which can fast track some of those last remaining approvals. They do have a lot of their major approvals, and the Labor, and certainly the LNP before Labor and Cow, were pushing this very much gung-ho. We saw a bit of a stop to that when Labor got in power, but essentially both Labor and the Liberal government are continuing to support the development of coal in Queensland. And what we really need to see from our governments is show leadership in that area. We know that, you know, those regional areas in northern and central Queensland are looking for long-term jobs, but we don't need another project that's going to rely on a boom-bust economy. We really need a better jobs plan for Queensland that doesn't rely on coal.
For sure. I saw a email going around from another 350 project, which is fossil-free unis. And I really liked it because it says, the author is Ray, and he says, "I'm still struggling with the idea that we actually live in a society where funding for healthcare, higher education, public housing and transport are being cut while $1 billion is handed out to a dead-end industry." And then he goes on to say, "We need to create a society in which the fossil fuel industry is viewed as the destructive beast that it is." And I think it's really good politically to be saying that, climate change and stopping this mine, it's not this kind of separate firewalled campaign on its own. This relates to the entire political picture. It's a social issue as well. I think that's a really good sort of standpoint.
It's quite outrageous that we have a government that's saying, you know, we need to cut things like essential services, and yet we're willing to continue to hand out money to the industry that we know is destroying the planet. I mean, there's about $10 billion a year that goes to subsidising this industry. So I think that's a really key question for all Australians, is that, you know, where do they want to see their taxpayer dollars go? And I think, you know, groups like the Australia Institute have done some really good work demonstrating that you can invest money in things like building new schools and hospitals, and they deliver those jobs for the long term, but doesn't seem to be in the mindset of Queensland politicians.
All right. And how can people get involved and support and help stop this monstrosity being built?
Yeah, so certainly there's a huge alliance of groups across the country working on this, and we are in a critical stage now. If Adani are going to achieve financial close on this, it's likely that they'll do that over the next 6 to 12 months. So we're really looking to ramp up this campaign. Certainly folks can get involved with 350.org. You can sign up on our website. And we have in Melbourne a local group, 350.org Melbourne, that also heavily involved in the campaign. We really do rely on volunteers. This is a network of volunteers right across the country, and particularly we'll be focusing on that finance element, kicking off early next year with a big launch of campaigns on the domestic banks. So, yeah, really encourage people to get involved.
Staunch. All right. Well, thanks heaps for talking to us, and keep up the good work.
Yeah. No worries. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for the interview.
All right. See you, Maya.
See ya.
See ya.